You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Samantha Oldfield.
And I'm Christy Landwehr, and you are listening to this special monthly NRHA episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, October 9th.
Good morning, Horse World.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
In this National Reining Horse Association episode, listen in to hear from the organizers of the Calgary Stampede and Exhibition, which in 2025 held an NRHA-approved event for the first time. Then, as we prepare for the NRHA Futurity, walk with us through NRHA history with NRHA Vice President Casey Hinton as he takes us back to where it all began. Well, Christy, before we jump in with our two guests, I just want to talk about a couple of the events that are happening around the world right now. One just concluded that we can jump into, and that's the 2025 World Youth Reining Cup in Rome, Italy. We just got back from that event. That event was held at the stunning Elementa Ranch, which is owned by Maria Cecilia Ferrucci. And we had, I believe it's a record, don't quote me, but I think it's a record. We had 25 countries represented by youth at this event. And we are just blown away by the participation, by the individuals who came to ride. The level of competition this year was just, it was unbelievable. It was amazing.
So explain to everybody what the Youth World Cup is. Doesn't it operate like IEA, Interscholastic Equestrian Association, and also IHSA, Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, in regards to a draw system? Isn't that how it works?
Yes, that's a good point. So the World Youth Reining Cup, one youth from each country is allowed to represent their country at this event. They all come together to one location, and in this year it was the Elementa Ranch in Rome, Italy. And horses are donated by several generous donors, individuals who they support the youth program, they support the future of reining, they have good reining horses. They generously donate those to this event. And just like you mentioned with IEA, IHSA, those horses' names all get put into essentially, if you want to say, a hat. This year they drew custom buckles that Maria Cecilia had done for them. And each youth draws a horse at random. And then they had, this year, they had three rides to get to know their horse. Because reining is such a high-level discipline, for safety reasons, we like to make sure that they at least have a couple rides on the horse, which is not like IEA or IHSA. But they had a few rides on their horse, and then they compete. And it's just an incredible exhibition of sportsmanship and leadership. And we were just floored by the number of individuals that came with each youth to support them from all over the world. We had representatives all the way from Costa Rica and Panama and Brazil and Argentina, all the way to Australia and all over Europe. It was just Canada. It was amazing.
I love that. You know, one of our strategic planning goals for the NRHA is to raise our youth membership. And I think that a lot of horse organizations, right, you really can't thrive without that strategic planning goal, because obviously some of us are going to age out eventually. And even though we can ride reiners well into our 70s, and we even have a few individuals riding reiners when they're in their 80s, it's really good to have this starting place. So I'm just so thankful for all the sponsors and all the horse donors that made this event happen.
Yes, me too, because without them, we cannot do this event. Those people who donate their horses, those people that host this event, without those individuals, it's not possible. And it's such a great way to inspire growth and inspire youth participation around the world. So we're very grateful. But now, moving a little bit closer to our home here in the U.S., there's another event that's taking place right now that, if you can give us a little information on the Quarter Horse Congress, All-American Quarter Horse Congress, that's an incredible event that's been happening for quite a few years now, and there's quite a lot of added money in it.
There sure is. So the Ohio Quarter Horse Association puts on the All-American Quarter Horse Congress. It is one of the largest horse shows in the quarter horse world. And it's a whole month in Columbus, Ohio, because you can imagine all the different disciplines and things that a quarter horse does, right? The English, the Western, the halter, the games, and of course, the reining. And in the reining is taking place right now as we speak, with finals being here shortly. And we, as the NRHA, are a title sponsor of the reining. We actually have a reiner suite that takes place. That's a big VIP area. We actually have, for those that are there right now and want to go over to the Markell booth, which is, of course, a really wonderful title sponsorship of the NRHA. They allow us space in their booth to have our booth there ourselves to be able to get memberships happening and nominations and all the things. So it is truly a partnership, all coming together to celebrate the American Quarter Horse, which, of course, is one of the main breeds that is involved in reining along with paints. So it's just a pleasure, and it is such an event. It just, every evening, there's some sort of a party going on, some sort of a reception. They really do cater to the exhibitors at the Congress.
Well, if you are in the Columbus, Ohio area, we recommend you head over to the Ohio Expo Center. That's where this event takes place. As Christy, you just mentioned, the finals are about to take place. And this event, I don't know if a lot of folks know this, the reining at this event, so the reining discipline alone, has over 700,000 added because it's run concurrent with the All-Star Reining Stakes. So it's a pretty hefty event in terms of reining and added money. So it's definitely worth a wander over if you're in the area, but also definitely put it on your bucket list if you're not, and head up there someday, because they have pretty good reining, and it's a, like you said, it's a wonderful facility with a great trade show.
And another event that's on my bucket list, and Sam, I don't know if you've ever been, but is the Calgary Stampede. And I'm so excited to have David on here in a second to talk to us more about that.
David is known for his innovative approach to life and also his willingness to take risks. In 2022, David and his team ventured into the horse show production world with the launch of the Exhibition, an NRHA-approved reining event that immediately became a favorite on the calendar for competitors. This work has evolved quickly and now includes three annual NRHA-approved events, a members club, a stallion and incentive program, a podcast, and a media company that provides video services for cutting, reining, working cow horse, roping, and barrel racing events throughout Western Canada. This summer, David played a huge role in bringing the first ever reining showcase to the world-famous Calgary Stampede and Exhibition. This NRHA-approved event was held at the Nutrien Western Event Center in front of more than 3,000 spectators, most of whom were seeing the sport of reining for the first time ever. David is the father of two incredible daughters, Danae and Lane, and enjoys a wonderful life with his wife, Tracy, whom he considers the foundation and biggest supporter of everything David and their daughters do. Welcome, David, to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I've been a longtime fan of the show, and it's exciting to be here today as a guest.
Awesome. So before we dive into, we have lots of questions lined up for you today, because this event is something we're excited to talk about. It's on a lot of people's bucket list, so we're excited to dive in. But before we do that, tell us about yourself and your early beginnings into reining.
Yeah, it's quite a chance situation here, because as many from the industry here in Western Canada know, I'm neither a rider or an owner of horses. So it all happened quite by accident. And a good friend of mine was double booked and was unable to provide video services for a reining Alberta show here called the Spring Classic. And so she asked if we could cover. So a good friend of mine, Mark Lowen, we were up for the challenge. We did not know what we were getting into. There are many funny stories that we could tell you about how that all went. But in the end, we did a really good job, and they wanted us to come back the next year, which we did. And, you know, knowing now sort of how everything worked, we felt like we did an even better job. And so since then, as you said in the introduction, our work has expanded to sometimes as many as 40, even 50 events through the calendar year here up mostly in Western Canada. So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And so, you know, as I said, having not ever been a rider or even an owner, I do find I bring a unique, uneducated experience to the industry. And so I often ask a lot of interesting questions. And certainly as we produce our shows, I would say, Lauren Waymeyer from your team, she laughs whenever I ask a question because she says, nobody ever thinks of these things, Dave. But I think she enjoys them and hopefully it helps us do our work well.
Well, I think it's great because that way you can see the forest for the trees, right? You're not dived deep into it. So you understand it can say, stop with that acronym. What does that mean exactly? And you can ask the correct questions. I think it's wonderful. Yeah. So, David, tell us a little bit more about the Rangeland Derby presented by Play Alberta and the relay races that take place at the Calgary Stampede. What are those about?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to see and do at the Calgary Stampede, but your question is excellent because, you know, you talked about just coming to the event as being a bucket list. This is on people's to-do list when they're there. So two of the events, they just really capture people's imagination, the Rangeland Derby and the relay races. So the Rangeland Derby presented by Play Alberta, it's what most people know as the chuck wagon races. And so there's a team of horses, there's outriders and drivers. They're all working in perfect rhythm, thundering around the track at an incredible rate of speed. It's incredibly exciting. It's intense. And if it feels dangerous, it is. But the atmosphere in the grandstand is unbelievable. So when those wagons, when they take off, the energy, it really just hits you. And it's one of those things that you have to see in person to truly appreciate. I don't know that when you follow it online that you capture all of that intensity and that is happening. So people should come and take it in. As far as the relay races, which bring an entirely different kind of thrill, these races celebrate the indigenous horsemanship, and the skill level is incredible. Riders aren't just racing, they're vaulting from one horse to another at full speed and in the middle of the race. The athleticism and trust it takes between the rider and the horse is jaw-dropping, and so the crowd is on the edge of their seat the entire time. And so together, these two events, they really showcase what makes the Stampede so special. And it's a mix of Western tradition, indigenous culture, and pure adrenaline. They're the kind of experiences people will never forget.
Well, I know every time I bring this event up, or any one of our team brings this event up in the office, all of our staff go, oh, that's so on my bucket list, like every single person. So hopefully soon we'll get a contingency from NRHA up there to watch the event, because I think it is just something that's really made a name for itself, not just in the reining world, but just in events itself. It's an incredible event. Now, new in 2025, you had a reining showcase, which included a team format, a reining pattern, and a slide. Tell us about this event, why you decided to bring it to the Stampede in 2025, and how it all works.
Well, I'll give credit to the Calgary Stampede for recognizing that this type of event can be super exciting for the fans. Because, I mean, we just talked about the adrenaline rush of a couple of events, you know, but traditionally reining did not get the respect of that. But I believe that there were a couple of their staff who had gone down and they had attended Run for a Million, and they saw that, yes, I mean, this is the type of experience and event that they want to have as part of the Calgary Stampede. So when I talked to them about it, we had built quite a relationship with the Stampede over the years, but there was no hesitation. They wanted to make it happen. And it was just a matter of how could we make it happen? And there were so many logistics to work out. The exciting part was I didn't believe that this could be an NRHA event. You know, it was something that we were putting together for the first time. We had to come up with a concept. We went with a team competition. And in my mind, from having read through the handbook too many times, it just didn't seem to me that it was something that the NRHA might be able to approve. But of course, when we needed to have a judge, we had $20,000 added for our purse, which was really great. But in order to have an NRHA judge, even though it wasn't anticipated to be an NRHA-approved event/class, I had to talk with the NRHA and get special permission. And as we went through the way it was set up, they were just right on board. Like the enthusiasm again, it was so great. And so I felt supported from the Stampede and from the NRHA, and then also from the professional community. So what we did, just to give full context to the event, we decided that we would open up with a freestyle, just because that was going to be the first thing that, you know, fans who had never seen the sport before didn't really understand the intricacies of all of the unique skills and horsemanship that happens. And so we had some fun. And so one of our local professionals, Wanda D. Haddad, she put together a freestyle to Yellowstone themed. And so it was to Wildflowers and Wild Horses by Lainey Wilson. And so she brought in her son, Robert McClucky, and her assistant trainer, Paige Mateka, to help out with that. And so it was really neat. She had, as part of her performance, this incredibly long, colorful sail that she rode around with. And it really did set the tone for the competition. As far as the competition goes, I invited team captains because I needed them to be on board. And so what we did was we looked at our top lifetime earners here in Western Canada. And not everyone was able to commit to it. They had other shows that they were committed to, but we got most of them. And so Jesse Beckley was at the top of that list. And that's a name that people would be familiar with from, you know, he's been a top shower down at the Futurity recently. And Shauna Sapersia, the Sapersia name, is, of course, very, very famous within the industry. And Shauna is such an incredible rider. So both of them were team captains. Amanda Antifave was at the top of that list. Now, she had just had a baby, and so she wasn't able to perform herself, but I wanted her to have the opportunity to be team captain. And so her partner, Tyrell Smith, rode in her place. We had Vicky Braun, a longtime reigning professional here, and Hubert Huell. So they were our captains, and their job was to select a wild card member as well as a non-pro team member. And so the way that the competition was set up was there is a Calgary Stampede buckle that each of the three divisions were competing for. But as far as the purse distribution, it was based on team results. And so the wild card riders for Jesse was Shayla Momberg. For Shauna was Sage Sapersia, her niece. Tyrell, his dad, Kim Smith. Vicky Braun brought Guy Robertson. And Hubert Huell had Clay Webster. And then on the non-pro side of things, on Jesse's team was Megan Myers. Shauna's team had Shonda Day. And then Amanda Antifave had Natalie Draper, a youth rider. Vicky Braun had her son-in-law, Colton Wong. Her daughter is quite a capable rider, but she too is a new mother. And Colton stepped in. And then our youngest rider of all, Hubert, for his non-pro, had his young daughter, Harlan, ride. And she really was a fan favorite because she was actually the first competitive rider, and she went out and ripped her circles, and it was electric. The fans loved it. So yeah, so they each did a reining pattern and they competed for a buckle, and then their team score was combined. We decided to give the new NRHA pilot slide off a go, and we didn't really know how to do it, but we did it as a team. They got a score. It was judged, and it worked out really well. It was entertaining for the fans. The thing I like about the pilot slide off is that it still incorporates all of the slide skills that you would want to see. It's not about how far you can go. And so having that style and really, you know, showing the talents of the horses was great. And so the winning team was Team Red, and that included Vicky Braun, Guy Robertson, and Colton Wong. And it was really great because all three of their horses were born and raised right here in Canada. And for our higher level horses, that isn't always true, but it was here. And so that was very special. As well, Vicky is from the Heinz family, and they have very deep roots here in Alberta. And so in her post-performance interview, she talked about her mother being a post-stampede champion, and the emotions were incredibly high. So I've got actually goosebumps right now talking about it. So the competition itself came together wonderfully. We learned a lot. There's things that we can do to make it better, but for a first go, everyone was quite delighted.
The emotions are the key. They are such the key, because when you can stir those in people, then your event is a success. And it sounds like you did that. So next year, David, are you planning to host the event again and in the same format? Is there going to be qualifying for it? How can reiners that are listening find out more about how to participate?
Yeah, these are all things that we've talked about, because while it was NRHA approved, it was category 13. And so then the NRHA, the earnings wouldn't count, but we want to change that. So whether it becomes a category 12 or whether we look at offering other rides and so other types of classes as well. So yeah, we definitely want to. We're in conversation with the Calgary Stampede at this time. Their schedule is incredible. You know, I just wanted people to understand the challenges of doing an NRHA event during Calgary Stampede. So in the Nutrien Western Events Center, they have a cutting horse competition, heavy horse show, RCMP musical ride, team cattle penning, World Stock Dog Championship, working cow horse, Canadian National Miniature Horse Show, Cowboy Up Challenge, and Stampede show riders, and honestly more. And so throughout that week that is happening, or 10 days of the Calgary Stampede, they're having to change that ground over. Bill Fraser, he's kind of like the conductor, and he's really a bit of a magician. So we had the evening primetime slot, which the showcase was from 7 to 9. And so he had to transition that ground in a very short amount of time. We hope to expand that. So looking into next year, where hopefully we have more time, and that'll help us get the ground ready, but also an opportunity to offer some other classes. So, you know, if we were to go to what would be, you know, I'm just thinking like a Run for a Million style competition, then we definitely need to get to that qualifying situation here. And so, yes, as soon as possible, we want to work out those details. And as soon as we do, we'll do our absolute best to communicate those to everyone who might be interested, so that we have, you know, a lot of representation. We are excited to have representation from all of the Western Canadian provinces, but we see a lot of Americans who come up from the Northwest and participate at our shows. But perhaps if the purse grows enough, you never know. We may attract others as well.
Absolutely. And hopefully being on this podcast will help with that attraction. Because I think just even letting a lot of reiners know what's going on up there, everybody knows about the event, but like knowing the reining that's offered there is a huge help. I have to hit on a point you just mentioned, the ground. Dun, 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 the ground. Every reiner knows the ground is paramount. It is the number one thing everybody looks for, talks about, is involved with. And I was just recently at an event, Americana in Germany, Friedrichshafen in Germany, and they had multiple events going at the same time, and they also had to change the ground. And for those listening who do not know, changing the ground during an event is, you're right, it's masterful. It's a magician's work, because it making everybody happy is just near impossible. And so I totally empathize with your team that do the ground there, because it sounds like you had so many things happening, and to have someone that is capable of changing the ground like that, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I had to hit on that, because that is something that from an association standpoint we talk about and deal with all the time, so had to hit on that.
I was just going to say, to be fair, you know, the vast majority of the people in the building watching, but of course, I mean, this is all telecasted, live streamed and that. So there's literally thousands upon thousands more who were watching, but they've never seen raining before. And so even though, you know, a true rainer might not think that was the greatest stop, it's still absolutely exciting for all of the fans. And the other, you know, the thing that was most important to us is protect the horse, because obviously we have to have ground that's safe, and we accomplished that for sure. The other thing that happened that's going to be great for next year is we took our summer show, the exhibition, to the Calgary Stampede Park this year, and we had never done that before. It came after the Calgary Stampede, but we learned so much. We have an incredible ground guy who works together with Bill, and so Logan Gerlitz was there, and we transformed that ground. By the end of our week-long show, the ground was phenomenal. It was like, you know, high-level competition ground, and so I think that knowledge and that experience is really going to help us for next year. We'll know it's safe, but I think we can bring that level of competition up as well.
Definitely. It's, yeah, having that skill in your back pocket, or having someone who has that skill, is so important. And like you mentioned, of course, horse welfare is number one priority, and having someone who can handle the ground between all different disciplines and events is so important. So now I just want to mention the facility that the Calgary Stampede is held at is host to over 1,200, I believe, events a year, with over, I think this is correct, correct me if I'm wrong, 2,500 volunteers. And I know the Stampede itself, the event itself, plays a crucial role in Alberta's economy. But youth involvement, that seems to be one of the largest pieces of this event's puzzle. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And then if you can, tell us about the 1912 Society.
Yeah. I hear that, you know, on this podcast, you're always celebrating the youth and the things that were happening. And so I commend you for that. I'm a former teacher myself. In Calgary, in Alberta, the number of young people who are touched by this event, it would be almost impossible to measure. And one of the things that is most incredible is the leadership opportunity that they give. And some of the learning that these young people have, I think it goes on to benefit them for the rest of their lives. So the 1912 Society is really a special piece of the Stampede story because it's all about investing in the next generation. So it's a youth advisory group made up of young leaders between the ages of 25 and 35 who are passionate about keeping the spirit of Calgary Stampede alive and relevant. You know, they're named after the year the first Stampede was held, and their role is to create opportunities for younger audiences to connect with the event, whether that's through networking, volunteerism, philanthropy, and building traditions of their own. They're also a bridge bringing fresh ideas and perspectives to the organization while learning from the history and community values that the Stampede is built on. What's neat is that it isn't just about the 10 days in July. So the 1912 Society is active year round, and it gives young people a real sense of ownership in shaping what the Stampede looks like in the future. It's one of those programs that makes sure the legacy of the Stampede continues for another 100 years by putting it in the hands of those who will carry it forward. And so it's just such an important part of everything that's happening. And they build, you know, all of those ages, like, you know, right from the youngest agents. You'll see that when you come to the Calgary Stampede, you know, you'll see, you know, whether, you know, the volunteers, but then there are also people who that's their first ever job. And so they're employed by the Calgary Stampede. You talked about the economic impact that it has. And so, yeah, it's really exceptional. It's a part of our culture. The fact that it's world renowned, you know, as a brand, as an experience. And when you're at the park, you will meet people from all over the world. So it's very exciting. And the youth side of things, and that is really incredible.
So, David, where can individuals who are interested in learning more about this event make their plans for next year? What is your website, your social media? What's the best way?
Yeah, so the Calgary Stampede has an incredible website, and there's just so much going on. It can be a little tricky to navigate, but definitely go to the calgarystampede.com and click on there. I was on there earlier today myself, and I don't believe they've released their official dates for next year, but it's always early in July. So we'll expect the same it will be early July 26th. I just can't give you the exact dates right now. But there's just under 1.5 million visitors that attended in 2025. So hopefully some of the listeners can come and we'll kick that into the 1.5 million because that was close to a record. And so hopefully 2026 will be a record. Of course, Calgary Stampede has an excellent social media, so I would encourage people to follow there. They have some really great content, and of course, they will give any updates related to the show. Our social media is The Exhibition, and we spell it really funny. As a teacher, you think I could spell better, but we started with an X, so it's Xibition. And so I've got a team member, Pearl Abley, who runs our social media. She does a fabulous job. And the bump that came as far as all the updates and posts that we gave around the Calgary Stampede was exciting for her, exciting for us. So that's a good place to follow, too, because, of course, our content will be specific to whatever raining event is happening during that Calgary Stampede.
Wow, that was an incredible talk that we just had with David. I think there's so many important pieces that he hit on, and definitely an event that most of us will be looking to attend in the future. Now, we're going to transition a little bit and move to an event that's here in the States, and it is our Futurity. As we move closer and closer, I can't believe it's that time of year already, to the 2025 NRHA Futurity and Attaquan North American Affiliate Championships. This will be the first event or the first Futurity in the new OG&E Coliseum. And to talk through a little bit of history of NRHA and about the Jim Norick and about where reining has been to where it is now, we're going to talk to NRHA Vice President Casey Hinton, who can walk with us a little bit through time.
Casey Hinton is a National Reining Horse Association Million Dollar Rider and Million Dollar Owner, known for producing and showing some of the sport's top horses. Based in Whitesboro, Texas, Casey and his wife Kathy, who has also recently crossed the Million Dollar Owner milestone, breed, raise, and train champions. Casey has built a career marked by consistency, horsemanship, and major wins. Today, he continues to compete at the highest levels while shaping the next generation of reining horses. Most recently, he has stepped into the NRHA leadership role of our vice president, a voluntary position that helps to guide our association into the future with growth and development strategies. Hi, thank you so much for being on the show today, Casey.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So you've been involved in reining since youth. Let's just dive in. From your perspective, how has the NRHA evolved since you first started showing?
Oh, wow. This is my 40th year to have my own training business. And so
awesome.
You've got to watch a lot. When I was younger, I got to spend the first couple of years out of high school at Dale Wilkinson. So you got to see the grandfather of reining, and then you got to see the Congress where reining, the first reining fraternity started. And as a youth, the memories of watching everything from the guys practicing on the racetrack to Stretch Bradley with the drag. And so the evolution of reining with different types of drags for the dirt to the different types of horses to like that, it's been spectacular. So what a journey it's been.
Wow, 40 years, that's an accomplishment. Not many folks can say that they've been successful for that long in any career. So I applaud you for that. And obviously you're well known around our office, as is Kathy, not just for your assistance in leadership roles, but also your incredible programs, breeding programs, showing, et cetera. It's definitely, y'all are some folks that we definitely look up to from a staff perspective. Tell us about some of your incredible horses that have come through your program and helped you achieve the million-dollar achievements that we mentioned in that bio.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate in our life to have some great horses cross our path and be very influential into our careers. Probably one of the horses that we've been involved with as a breeding horse, and I got the show in 2004 and win a world title on, was Magnum Chick Dream. And we've stood him at our place ever since the 2005 breeding season. He's 29 years old now. He crossed the $14 million sire mark. And, you know, just what a story for Jack and Viola, the owners. What a horse. And his foals to this day are still relevant and are at the top of the game. You know, in 2000, I think 11, I showed a offspring, a little Magnum Jesse, and I was reserve at the fraternity with little Magnum Jesse behind Gunna Trasha. That was quite a fun evening. And then a horse that we trained and made every major finals of every event, Futurity, NRBC Derby, and everything, was a horse named Smarty Starlight. He was a world champion in 2010, I think. Spooks Eclipse was a horse that Jimmy and I both showed, and he showed till he was probably, man, he might still be showing. Guaranteed a Magnum, Kathy and I owned, and he won the 2018 Derby with Jimmy Vanderhoeven, our assistant, showing him. One of the only back-to-back winners of the Derby. He also won it in 2019. A horse named Mega Mag, which in 2017, I won the level 3 at the Futurity, made the top 10 in the open part. Been a lifelong horse. He's 11 years old, still in our program, still showing to this day. And then a horse named Magnum's Custom Dream, which qualified myself 3 years in a row for the Run for the Million. This past year, Andrea Fapani showed him for Kathy and I as owners, and he was reserve at the Run for the Million. Quite exciting evening, very close. And that is a stallion that last year we stood to the public, had an incredible year. Those horses are some of the highlight horses that, man, oh man, what a lifetime of experience with those horses.
Casey, isn't it awesome? We all have our horses that just mean so much, even though every single one that crosses our path is special. But thank you for highlighting some of those. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. So the OG&E Coliseum, which is the Oklahoma Gas and Electric Coliseum, will be the new home of our fraternity. The first event held in this Coliseum, actually the first event, was ours as well. It was our 2025 4/6 NRHA Derby presented by Markel. That was pretty awesome. So you have competed and you saw Rainey mature in the Jim Norick, which of course was standing there in the fairgrounds forever, and it's now been literally deconstructed. Tell our listeners what it feels like after having so much history in the Jim Norick arena to now move into a new facility with this event.
Well, that new facility is first class. Oklahoma should be very proud, and that fairgrounds of putting that facility together and that or new arena. I mean, if you think about the history that was made in the Norick and now we're at the infant stage of what the history is going to be in the new one, man, it's exciting time, man, for the world of reigning, you know. Man, it's hard. You know, the Norick had such an atmosphere for us over the years, you know, NRHA moving the fraternity from Ohio to the Norick in Oklahoma City was kind of a controversial move, but it was a move that the board took a chance and it catapulted NRHA into a national event where the East Coast and the West Coast could come for one fraternity and show. Once that happened in the Norick, it just took off, you know, seeing special runs, you know, like Boomernick was in 92, and I thought that was a landmark kind of a run in the Norick. And then Wimpy's Little Step was in 2002. And then you could go on and on, the specialty of last year being the last one with the first lady to ever win the fraternity. What memories that Norick is going to have for all of us. But the new place, man, Oklahoma should be very proud.
It is. It is a fantastic facility, and we are so grateful that the city and the people have opted to put that kind of possibility in Oklahoma City for us and for our sport. Obviously, there's a lot of events hosted there, but as you mentioned, the Jim Norick, it was such a landmark in reigning for most of our folks. And so we were, you know, it's sad to see the Jim Norick go. We're excited to move into the new facility. But for folks like you that you've seen reigning just go through so much in the Jim Norick, we had to ask you what it was like to see that deconstructed and move into the new facility. So thank you for walking us through some of those important milestones. And speaking of milestones, what do you see as some of the, we'll say, milestones in NRHA's history that helped shape the sport into what it is today? What big events or what important historical moments really do you think, from your perspective, helped shape NRHA into what it is today?
You know, looking back, I think the move to guarantee $100,000 to the winner of the fraternity was the board really took a shot at it. And I think that it catapulted the excitement and the interest of reigning. I think that was a significant change. Later on, I think our board has done a very good job of upping the ante to where it's such a, our fraternity is such a special moment. It's our Kentucky Derby. And so that Kentucky Derby upping the ante to make it change, I think that the Bob Kaiser effect of changing the ground and advancing the ground, you know, it was a real milestone. The care our horses get now, far as, you know, they get treated to spas and ice baths and, you know, the best hay and the best feed and the best conditioning and the best footing, you know. Though that's with Bob Kaiser was a big change. Moving the fraternity from Columbus to Oklahoma City was a big thing. It moved the needle to where East Coast, West Coast could all come and unite at one location. I think the World Equestrian Games gave us worldwide recognition and put us on a stage like the Olympics, and that was a big thing to get the atmosphere worldwide. That was a big move. And recently, in the last few years, Taylor Sheridan with the Yellowstone and the support he's given us for Run for the Million and getting us on TV and getting us exposure where people see what spectacular animals we have and what our sport is about. I think those milestones were really, really super important towards keep pushing us forward.
Casey, I think you hit every single one of them. Awesome. And next year is such a big deal. We have so many milestones. We have Derby hitting 45 years. We have Futurity hitting 60. We have the NRHA itself as an association hitting 60 years. So in your opinion, since 1966, when we began as an association, what are some of the cornerstones of our sport that have not changed and continue on to this day?
Oh, wow. I think it keeps changing. I think it is what has not changed. You know, I still would say that our NRHA board's outlook is to highlight horse and riders and what spectacular animals we have and what athletes they really are. So, you know, highlighting our riders and our horses probably has continued. With social media now, it's probably greater than it's ever been. But I think that highlighting those two things to propel our sport, and I think the economics of you know, horses that can win monetary value has increased, you know, our eye appeal. But reining has always been a eye catcher. It has always been something that's so enjoyable to do, but very difficult to accomplish, but it has a very much an audience appeal. So I think the audience appeal has always been there from the beginning to now.
Yeah. I love that you said that we do keep changing as well. Obviously you hit on some really key points that have stayed the same, but I love that you first mentioned we do keep changing and evolving with the times, with the new things that come out to help improve our horse care, to help improve our competition. And I think it's important as an association that we do keep evolving and moving with the time. So I thought that was cool that you hit on that. As someone who's achieved the NRHA $1 million rider and owner milestones, what do you think our next generation of riders should know about NRHA's history? Because one of the things, you know, you mentioned big purses, and now, if you look at the amount of added money that you can win at a single reining event, it's changed drastically since we started in 1966. And with that, not just the money has changed, but I think there's some key things that back in the history of NRHA is important for riders today to know about the reining and NRHA and how we got started. So what are some of those key things that you think the next generation of riders should know about NRHA's history? And where do you see the association heading in the future?
You know, I don't know if as much of them history is as important or whatever else. History of talking back in the day and comparisons and stuff like that. I think we have a locomotive in the changing of how great the riders are and how great they show and how good they are at teaching technique. And then the incredible horses. Wow. It used to be back in the day, there'd be four or five horses that were special and four or five riders capable of winning the Futurity. And now you probably got 100 riders capable of winning the Futurity and, you know, 300 exceptional horses. And so when you compare history of landmark rides, you know, back of horses in the past, you know, we have excelled those horses were the best of their day, but people see them on an old video and they compare them with the day's horses. Oh man, they just aren't that good or whatever, but they were the best of that day. They were the best of that time period. And our escalator of where we're headed and how great the horses are and the riders and the techniques and stuff. It's just amazing to watch. I mean, it just intrigues you so much. You could watch it for hours and hours. And what a great sport. And we have a sport everybody else is really enjoys. They've copied our judges' scoring system. They've tried to copy so many things about us, and we have a lot of great things going forward. I hope that, you know, we continue to have all levels for all people to enjoy it because it's such a special sport. So I hope we keep to where it is everything from a 4-H reining to Olympic reining, world-class reining. I hope we have everything in between so that everybody gets to enjoy it as much as we have in our life.
That's awesome. And that was wonderful, wonderful idea to leave the listeners with, because yes, it's truly an incredible sport that we all get to be a part of.
And Casey, thank you so much. Your passion just flows through on all of this. And it's so helpful having this history and knowing, you know, where we're going and knowing what the future holds is really, really bright. So thank you again. Copying is the best form of flattery. So I hope people continue to copy us. That's fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
Well, thank you again for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I find it just fascinating how both of our guests today, David and Casey, talked about dirt. Dirt in horses is so amazing. The footing is so amazing, no matter what discipline you're in. And, you know, he mentioned how the Kaisers have been so involved. And now we have Randy Snodgrass with Arena Works, who is doing our footing. And it's just cracks me up that, right, that is something that we talk about a lot. And if you talk to a non-horse person, you say, what's really important about horse sports? Oh, dirt. Dirt's really important.
Yeah, that topic, when David was talking about it, I had to reiterate what he was saying. If you are ever an association or an event manager, the number one piece that you'll probably hear about the most is the dirt. And it is so important to most folks who are in equine disciplines, but reiners for sure, because we are sliding and spinning and rollbacking and circling. It is paramount, not just to have amazing and incredible maneuvers, but for horse safety as well, to have good dirt. So I love that they both hit on that piece.
And for those of you that are interested in coming or watching live stream our NRHA Futurity this year, it begins on Monday, November 24th and goes until Saturday, December 6th in Oklahoma City at the fairgrounds there. And you can go to nrha.com/futurity to find out the full schedule and all the fun that we're going to have. So now, everyone, go out and have the slide of your life.